Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM.
You're listening to WWBC, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
It's never the wise thing to do it our way. Because God always has a way, the best way. And remember this, because he loves you unconditionally, because he has a will and a purpose and a plan for you, because he has already determined and provided and prepared to give you his best. If you want God's best, you have to do it God's way. And God's way is not always the simplest way. Sometimes it's a painful way. Sometimes it just runs against the grain. That's not the way we think. That's not the way we want to do it. But his way is always the best way.
Welcome to In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. We're glad you've joined us. Probably too often, we make choices based on our limited knowledge and what seems right at the moment. But really, we only have two alternatives, our path or God's path. An example from the life of Moses illustrates this in today's reminder that God's way is the best way.
Whenever you and I face a challenge in life, we always respond in one of two ways, and that is either our way or God's way. Now, most of us know that doing things God's way is always best. But in spite of that, sometimes we don't always choose to do it that way. Somehow we have the idea that in spite of the fact that we know that God is absolutely omniscient and knows what is best, the fact that he has a will and a purpose and a plan for our life, that he loves us unconditionally, and he would only do what's best for us, we still choose to do things our way rather than God's way. Well, that's what I want to talk about in this message entitled, God's Way is the Best Way. And sometimes these wonderful principles of Scripture are best declared by illustrating them in somebody's life. So I want you to turn, if you will, to the book of Exodus, and I want you to turn to the second chapter. And in the book of Exodus, of course, we find the life of Moses, who stands above all the other characters in the Old Testament. 699 verses in the Old Testament have his name in it, 79 verses in the New Testament. And here is a man whose life is certainly characterized by both success and failure. And throughout the Scriptures, you find those who refused to do it God's way and the kind of trouble they caused and experienced, those who did it God's way. So the whole purpose of this message is simply this, and that is to take the life of Moses and simply say, here's the way it happens when you do it your way. This is the way it happens when you do it God's way. And I think when you and I weigh the two, we will come away knowing in our heart it's always the wisest, always the best, always the most profitable to do things God's way. If you'll turn to the second chapter in the 11th verse, it came about on those days when Moses had grown up that he went out to his brethren and looked on their hard labors. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren, so he looked this way and that, and when he saw that there was no one around, he struck down the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. And he went out the next day, and behold, two Hebrews were fighting with each other. And he said to the offender, why are you striking your companion? But he said, who made you a prince or a judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid and said, surely the matter has become known. When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Here is a perfect example of doing it my way. And then there's the wonderful, awesome example of doing it God's way. And what I'd like for us to see here, and I want you to get your notes out, because if you just jot down some of these things, the next time you face a challenge in your life, no matter what the challenge may be, some big decision you have to make, something going on either in your family or your business, among your friends, or your health, a thousand things that we have to face continually over and over and over again, and it's so easy to do it the way we just sort of naturally think and feel rather than what God says do. It's never the wise thing to do it our way. Because God always has a way, the best way. Now remember this. Because he loves you unconditionally, because he has a will and a purpose and a plan for you, because he has already determined and provided and prepared to give you his best. If you want God's best, you have to do it God's way. And God's way is not always the simplest way. Sometimes it's a painful way. Sometimes it just runs against the grain. That's not the way we think. That's not the way we want to do it. But His way is always the best way. And I believe if you and I could just have time to give testimony today, all of us could stand up and say, yes, God's way is the best way, and here's the way I blew it. I did this, and I had a sneaking suspicion that wasn't God's way, or I knew when I did it wasn't God's way, and here are the consequences I've suffered in my life. Some consequences go on for a lifetime. Some consequences are short-lived. But to do it our way instead of God's way is always unwise. And listen, there are always consequences. There's always a penalty, depending upon the nature and the size of that decision or that action depends upon, will determine what the consequence is and how long the consequence goes on. Always best to do it God's way. So I want you to think about something. Get your pencil ready now. I want you to think about something. What is the first prerequisite in doing anything God's way? The first prerequisite is this, and that is to have an encounter with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, whereby you confess your sins to Him and acknowledge that His death at Calvary made it possible for God the Father to place your sins upon Him. When He died an atoning death, a sacrificial death, a substitutionary death. He died a death that made it possible for God the Father to accept you and me with our sins, forgiving us of our sins, because Jesus Christ paid that sin debt in full at the cross. Thereby, we become the sons and daughters of God. First foremost prerequisite for walking in the ways of God, first prerequisite for doing things God's way, is to have a personal relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who is the one who gives us direction as to what is God's way and how do we do it in God's power. Now, so with that in mind, let's think about what happens when you and I do things God's way. Well, number one, God will provide everything we need when we're doing it His way. He'll provide everything you and I need when we're doing it His way. What did He need? He needed somebody who could talk better than He could. And so what did God do? He said, I'll send your brother with you. He'll do the talking, and you just do what I tell you to do. It would be absolutely incompatible with the nature of God, the attributes of God, to ask you and me to do something that He did not provide everything we needed to get it done. And so, as we've said over and over again, that is, God takes full responsibility for the life fully committed to Him. God is responsible for the consequences of our obedience. And therefore, if we say, all right, I'm going to do what you say, God, God assumes responsibility in that moment to provide every single thing we need to get the job done. And so, what we see here when He does it God's way, waiting upon the Lord, trusting in His clear direction, and waiting for God and believing in God that He is going to be able to provide everything He needs, He doesn't have to worry about that. You see, what we do is we think, well, Lord, suppose this. There are no supposings with God. God has never made this statement. Oh, I thought. There's no afterthinking with God. It's always forethinking. He knows what's going to happen. Not only that, next thing is this, that when we do it God's way, He banishes the fear in our life. Because it's a new experience for us, we may have a little bit of fear, but the truth is it's not real fear. It's just that little emotional stuff that runs through and back and forth. But God will banish the fear, and here's what happens. Remember this. When you take the first couple of steps in the will of God that seem to be challenging, you may feel some fear, but here's what you'll discover. As you keep moving in the direction that God has told you to go, the longer you walk, the less fear you're going to have until the fear is absolutely banished and you're going to know that you're walking in the will of God, under the protection of God, listen, the resources of God, the power of God, the love of God, the purpose of God, the will of God, the plan of God. You can't lose doing it God's way. He says, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And probably my favorite passage of Scripture in all the Bible when it comes to this whole idea of fear is found in Isaiah 41. Listen to this, I love this. Do not fear, for I am with you. That settles it right there. But that's not all. Look at this. Do not anxiously look about you, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you, surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That is, He says, do not be afraid, I'm with you. Well, listen, if you got omnipotence with you, do you need anything else? Not really. I love this phrase. He says, don't anxiously look about you. That's what gets our mind off God. In other words, when we anxiously look about us, we forget what He says when He says, I'll be with you. God wants us to focus on Him. In the midst of difficulties and trials and big challenges in our life, we're to focus our attention upon Almighty God. If my attention's on Him, I'm not going to be looking at the circumstances. That's why He said in that passage, don't anxiously look about you. Keep your focus on Almighty God. And this is exactly what's beginning to happen here in his life. And so all of a sudden, that fear of facing Pharaoh is gone. He marches in with his stick and his brother and says, here's what I am says, and we're trusting God to free the nation of Israel. Well, then what I want you to notice is this, that God gives specific directions. When we do it his way, he gives specific directions. God does not speak in terms of generalities, as we've said. He doesn't say, be good. He doesn't say, well, just go to school. If you ask God to show you what to do, he'll show you what school to go to. He'll show you how to settle that financial situation. He'll tell you what to do as an employer about employees. He'll tell you how to do whatever you need to do in the family. God is specific. God doesn't throw out a bunch of general directions. When you and I are walking in his will and his way, and we're doing it his way, we're going to have very clear direction. What does he say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll do what? Direct your path. If we do it God's way, that is exactly what we can expect, clear direction. Not only that, another thing we can expect, listen, we will experience God's power in our life. When you and I do it God's way, God assumes the responsibility for empowering you. Now listen, so many of God's people have a poor self-image. So many of God's people think, well, now how could God ever use me? And the interesting thing, if you read back through history, as so oftentimes, God has used the most unlikely people from the most difficult kind of circumstances, sometimes born in poverty, oftentimes have all kinds of physical handicaps or whatever it might be. God loves to take the most unlikely and do something fantastic with them. So don't underestimate what God can do in your life. And when I think about how many people could be serving the Lord today who are not serving him because they think, well, you know, I just don't think I could do that. Well, I don't think I'm qualified. Or, you know, I don't have the education. Or, I don't have this. I don't have that. Why don't you start majoring on what you do have? Major on what you do have. Listen, if you line up all, think about this for a moment. Let's just stack up all the things that you don't have over here. I'm not talented, I'm not gifted, I can't speak, I can't sing, I can't teach, I don't know the Bible. I mean, you can just go on, you can just stack it. Let's say you got 500 things over there that you can prove that you can't do. You know how to balance that scale and make this one go straight up because it's so light? All you have to do is put on this scale, this one single phrase, I will be with you. If God is with you, you are adequate to face any circumstance in life, no matter what it is. Now, you either have to believe that or you doubt it. The truth is, if you doubt it, all you do is cripple yourself. You cripple yourself in service before God. You cripple what God can do in your life. Don't underestimate what God, listen, is willing to do, wants to do. Have you turned aside recently to say, God, do you want to say something to me? Do you want to speak to my heart, God, about something? Have you been trying to get my attention? God, I've been so busy. I've been running here and yonder. Lord, do you want to say something to me? You may be surprised and shocked at how clearly God will speak to your heart and give you clear direction for your life. He has the best in store for you, but he's waiting for you to turn aside to listen to him to give you clear direction for your life. He'll give you clear direction for your life. He will empower you to do whatever he asks you to do. Not only that, next thing is this. You'll see the power of God work.